Recently, a long-standing partnership between OSF Healthcare and the U of I Granger College of Engineering announced a big new endowment. The money will fund joint research to change clinical simulation healthcare systems and medical education. The additional $50 million will fuel a new generation of joint research projects to include mobile sensors, the Internet of Things applications, data analytics, and understanding social and behavioral determinants of health. Brings a total endowment to more than $112 million for that purpose. John Vozelinek is the Vice President and Chief Medical Officer of the Jump Training and Simulation Center in Peoria. Over the next 20 years, Vozelinek says the entire landscape of healthcare and health tech will change.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that rurality, as we put it, is a major and significant cause or determinant of health. And what I mean by that in specific is that just being in a rural condition, we see that outcomes for heart disease, for diseases such as cancer or gastrointestinal disorders, lead to a significant disparity for those rural communities. And as rural communities become smaller and perhaps in the global sphere of things appear to be less relevant, there are significant populations of people across America who really need good connection with health and wellness. And our endowment now funds technologies to connect people to health and wellness technologies, keep them healthier, keep them well, and do the preventative measures that will lead to better outcomes for those patients and people who live in those communities.
Rural areas are also starved for internet connections. How will that problem hinder the work of connecting patients to doctors and patients to services?
Our preliminary evaluation of the condition is actually less dire than one would assume. There is actually sufficient connectivity across rural America such that we can move forth. Now, to rely simply on a digital solution for a problem which is truly analog, and that is a human-to-human connection around health and wellness, would be a failure mode. We cannot solely rely on digital technologies with Internet of Things. We must leverage those tools, but we will connect with people using people. And we're set about the process of training a whole cadre of community health workers and informing and sending those community health workers to these rural communities well-armed with digital technology.
So get into the technology a little bit, will you? What sorts of things will enable that human connection?
Absolutely. So JUMP has a history already of making research investments in applied technologies that produce sensors. And one of the main projects, for example, is under the Ed and Ann Rapp Endowment within the Jump Arches program. So within that endowment, we are seeking solutions to monitor the condition of patients with neurologic conditions, neurologic diseases. This may be the recovery from a significant injury to the brain, such as a stroke or as a traumatic injury, or it may be the conditions that lead to slow neurologic changes over time. The investment then from that endowment creates sensor technology that patients can wear in their home, monitor their condition, monitor their neurologic recovery, or in the case of a non-recovery or a decrement in function, lead to more rapid intervention.
What sorts of functions can be monitored now and what will be able to be monitored in 10 to 20 years with the work that is going on?
There's no doubt that our populations have become more comfortable sharing data from personal monitoring devices. We look at things like the Apple Watch. We look at things like Fitbit. Those data which are collected from worn devices are becoming more and more available. And as the population becomes more and more comfortable around privacy issues and the sharing of that type of data, the sharing of that data to relevant parties who are intervening on their behalf, that's become more common. It allows for our providers and our clinicians, a variety of types, to actually engage more fully and really lead to, again, the better healthcare outcomes, which is the overarching goal of the Jump Arches Endowment.
Are we going to see things like fairly constant blood sugar monitoring uploaded to the internet and alarms going off for the patient and for doctors in a remote location when it gets out of whack? Are we going to see seizure detection by remote? Are we going to see functioning of printable hearts monitored from some central location? How extensive is this going to get?
Well, frankly, the imagination is the only limitation. And the solutions that you describe just in this brief scenario, these solutions exist. And the question is, how can we apply them in a meaningful way to the communities that we serve? Even just the data connections from those sources. So you ask about sort of heart monitoring exists. In fact, even on my device that I'm wearing on my wrist today, I could take an EKG and understand exactly what my rhythm is like. And for some patients, that's extremely relevant. Thank goodness for me, not quite so relevant. But the idea here is that those types of solutions, seizure monitoring, heart monitoring, neurologic function monitoring, can exist. The question is, how can we securely bring that data to the cloud for analysis, use advanced technologies and advanced informatics to do machine learning and other techniques that actually result in the predictive analysis that leads to the more rapid intervention? The old model of patients coming to the hospital for service when they're ill is radically changing. Now, hospital systems must go out into the communities and monitor and provide service in their home and in clinical environments that are not the hospital. That's the only way that the efficiency and the lower cost of healthcare will result in better benefits to patients at large.
How much can the human health official be leveraged by technology? So how much efficiency can be gained? I mean, you already have radiologists looking at thousands of images that they would have had the time to look at maybe hundreds or even dozens 20 years ago because the technology has improved. With these data connections, you're going to have software monitoring a lot of it and a human called in when it's absolutely needed. Take us through how the software is going to work.
I think it's a good point of comparison to say how things happen today and to compare as to how they could occur in the future. Today, the patient comes to the clinic and gets an EKG for a complaint of palpitations, chest pain, or a variety of conditions. There's an initial reading that is done by a person. There's a reading that's actually assisted by the device itself, the EKG device, to help the individual read it, but then it goes into a file and it's reread later. And then eventually a diagnosis is made and a record made in the chart. That's the current state. In the future state, advanced technologies, such as provided by digital monitoring and artificial intelligence, machine learning, take hundreds of EKGs, and the machines actually learn the patterns to recognize disease earlier. What we know about these technologies is that the human eye, although it's extremely accurate in a trained sense, is not as fast or, frankly, as efficient as a computer that's been trained to recognize patterns. These patterns can be recognized almost immediately by this type of technology. A record and an alert be sent to the clinician, and then intervention be initiated in the case of some deviation from normal. Now, all of this requires good data pipes, good data security, and strong computer algorithms that lead to that final outcome.
And pretty strong hardware, too, that's not subject to failure, battery failure, or some glitch.
Absolutely. And in fact, there's probably something to be said for the ability of the cloud to create redundancies that don't exist with hardware that's locally fixed, you know, plugged into some outlet somewhere. Frankly, cloud-based computing and the redundancies that are afforded by that allow us to feel that we're a bit more secure in terms of redundancy measures that allow for intervention.
So since pattern recognition is a machine's strength, even getting to be above a trained human or an experienced human, mm-hmm. how does the human oversight become still mm-hmm. valuable, or does it become irrelevant?
I love this question because at the heart of healthcare and wellness, it is a human-human interaction. This is an analog. This relation is analog. Two human beings or a team of human beings intervening on behalf of another person. In the design of systems that lead to good information gathering and good information processing, you have to have solid foundation and user-centered design and human-centered design. Then the computers can actually make good sense of the data that they're acquiring so that the patterns are relevant. But then on the back end of that whole process, you've got to convert that digital signal back into an analog intervention. And those humans need to know, what's the priority? How shall I intervene? And what are my resources to intervene in the most effective way?
Let me also question the premise a little bit. Humans are so idiosyncratic that our patterns are reliable often.
Well, it's fascinating as a question. There was a recent article that described a computer that was able to bluff professional poker players. And this computer was able to, even with professional poker players who bluff, like, or deliberately deceiving each other in the playing of a hand of poker, the computer was able to outbluff those professionals. Now,
with about 6 months of training there, of repetitive drilling and simulation.
Absolutely. And so there's no doubt that we must invest in the computer's ability to recognize those patterns. But in fact, we are perhaps a bit less idiosyncratic than we think, and that we actually do have recognizable patterns by machines.
But with, say, an aged person who has multiple presentations of say, heart or neurological ailments, plus they might be lonely, and that will exacerbate one or another of those things. A poker-playing machine has a limited number of variables. Are the number of variables in a human's health condition similarly limited and similarly controllable for the software to learn enough?
Humans are very complex, and frankly, if we solely relied on digital technology to provide an algorithmic response to each and every condition, we will definitely miss the boat. And that's where I emphasize the use of human-centered design on the front end and on the back end for delivery, new delivery algorithms, new delivery technologies. And I have to go back to what I was saying before about community health workers. Trusted members of our community can be engaged, trained, with some basic medical knowledge, equipped with good digital technologies, and allow us to make better human connections to people so that their wellness is improved and their outcomes are improved.
Talk about the competitive landscape in healthcare and what is going to happen with multiple actors, multiple researchers, multiple businesses are looking to stake out a piece of this space, much like the early auto industry did. And eventually we had some commonality and some standardization. How long before that becomes the norm, that standardization? Or are we going to have a lot of single-use vendors that write a piece of software and another firm doing much the same thing, but it doesn't play well across broad swaths of the healthcare industry? How does that system become rationalized, and how long do you think it will take?
One thing we know for sure is that healthcare systems, large healthcare systems, are consolidating, and frankly, over time, there will be fewer large systems that are impacting healthcare across the nation. They'll tend to aggregate, they'll tend to do mergers and acquisitions, and in that economic environment, being big is very important. At the same time, we have radical competition coming in from sources that were, frankly, perhaps unanticipated. Amazon, Google, and others participating in the understanding of the electronic healthcare record. There are significant projects going on with massive amounts of data from the Veterans Hospital, for example, that are being chunked already by non-traditional providers. So in the future, it may be more like Amazon and Google and less like OSF Healthcare. Frankly, I think all of us should aspire to maintain our wellness until the very end of our lives and live our lives to the fullest, as free from disease as we can. And the only path to that is being attentive to our wellness. Right now, patients have limited access to their records. Patients will require better access to the records to understand their health, so that is a definite thrust. And frankly, they're more and more comfortable with sharing their data. So what does it look like in the future for us? I think we're going to see a radical change in the way healthcare records are provided, organized, and used to deliver healthcare.
What question haven't I asked you, or where have I missed the boat in this conversation?
So the cornerstone of all this, and I'm speaking from my position as a physician who's been trained in the usual way that physicians are trained. the key here is that we have combined disciplines that are unexpected in unique ways to deliver new interventions for our patients on behalf of outcomes. And it isn't just engineers who build a really cool whiz-bang technology. We have art and design individuals, industrial design individuals. We have community service, public policy, community health, the full thrust and power of a university with the breadth and depth of disciplines that are provided in combination with the healthcare context. And frankly, the healthcare context is changing so radically, the opportunities to innovate are tremendous. That's what the endowment is poised to provide. It's the gasoline in the engine for this tremendous engine that's going to lead to significant healthcare innovation.
Medical futurist Dr. John Vozenilek is the Vice President and Chief Medical Officer of the Jump Trading and Simulation Center in Peoria.